A chieftain to the Highlands bound cries, "Boatman, do not tarry, and I'll give thee a silver pound to row us o'er the ferry." "Now who be ye would cross Loch Gyle this dark and stormy water?" "Oh, I am the chief of Alba's Isle, and this Lord Allen's daughter." And fast before her father's men, 3 days we fled together.
You are listening to the voice of James McKechnie reading Lord Allen's Daughter by Thomas Campbell. A page from this Sunday's edition of Anthology. This is Fleetwood. Every Sunday at 1, WRCA, in cooperation with the Poetry Center of the YM and YWHA, 92nd Street and Lexington Avenue in Manhattan, brings you Anthology, a selection of readings from poets past and present, and the music to accompany their poetry. This Sunday, My Heart's in the Highlands. Our guests, by transcription, James McKechnie and Joe Stafford. Scottish Highlands are a wild, sweet country echoing to the skirl of an ancient bagpipe, glowing with the colors of ancestral tartans, soft with the scent of heather, lovely with the proud crest of the thistle, a raw, craggy land, and yet possessed of a misty beauty all its own. This week we lend our hearts to those Highlands as we listen to the poems of Sir Walter Scott and Thomas Campbell, read by James McKechnie of the BBC, and Joe Stafford singing a series of songs based on the poetry of Bobby Burns, recorded by Columbia Records. Two well-known gentlemen from the pages of Scotland's classic poetry open our program. First, an excerpt from Sir Walter Scott's Marmion, in which we meet the brave, the handsome young knight named Lochinvar. Then Bobby Burns' beautiful ballad, John Anderson, My Joe, sung by Joe Stafford.
Oh, young Lochinvar has come out of the west. Through all the wide border his steed was the best. And save his good broadsword, he weapons had none. He rode all unarmed, and he rode all alone. So faithful in love and so dauntless in war, there never was knight like the young Lochinvar. He stayed not for brick, and he stopped not for stone. He swam the Esk River, where ford there was none. But ere he alighted at Netherby Gate, the bride had consented, the gallant came late. For a laggard in love and a dastard in war was to wed the fair Ellen of brave Lochinvar. So boldly he entered the Netherby Hall, among bridesmen and kinsmen and brothers and all. Then spoke the bride's father, his hand on his sword, for the poor craven bridegroom said never a word. Oh, come ye in peace here, or come ye in war, or to dance at our bridal, young Lord Lochinvar? I long wooed your daughter, my suit you denied. Love swells like the Solway, but ebbs like its tide. And now I am come with this lost love of mine, to lead but one measure, drink one cup of wine. There are maidens in Scotland more lovely by far, that would gladly be bride to the young Lochinvar. The bride kissed the goblet, the knight took it up, he quaffed off the wine and he threw down the cup. She looked down to blush, and she looked up to sigh, with a smile on her lips and a tear in her eye. He took her soft hand ere her mother could bar. Now tread we a measure, said young Lochinvar. So stately his form, and so lovely her face, that never a hall such a galliard did grace. While her mother did fret, and her father did fume, and the bridegroom stood dangling his bonnet and broom, and the bridemaidens whispered, 'twere better by far to have matched our fair cousin with young Lochinvar. One touch to her hand, one word in her ear, when they reached the hall door and the charger stood near. So like to the croup the fair lady he swung, so like to the saddle before her he sprung. She is one we are gone over bank, bush, and score. They'll have fleet steeds that follow, quoth young Lochinvar. There was mounting among Grahams of the Netherby clan, Fosters, Fennecs, and Musgraves, they rode and they ran. There was racing and chasing on Canterbury Lee, but the lost bride of Netherby ne'er did they see. So daring in love, and so dauntless in war. Have you e'er heard of gallants like young Lochinvar?
Before we leave the poetry of Sir Walter Scott, there's a verse in The Lay of the Last Minstrel which I'd like to read to you. Some beautiful lines which Edward Everett Hale used as the basis for one of the most dramatic scenes in his story of The Man Without a Country. These lines: breathes there a man with soul so dead, who never to himself hath said, this is my own, my native land, whose heart has ne'er within him burned As home his footsteps he hath turned from wandering on a foreign strand. If such there breathe, go mark him well. For him no minstrel raptures swell. High though his titles, proud though his name, boundless his wealth as wish can claim, despite those titles, power and pelf, the wretch, concentered all in self, living shall forfeit fair renown, and doubly dying shall go down to the vile dust from whence he sprung, unwept, unhonored, and unsung. Robert Bobby Burns, born in Alloway near Ayr on January 25, 1789, was a poet of nature who found his materials wherever he looked. At the countryside, at the smiling girls, among his friends, in his joys and in his sorrows. He captured in memorable verse the wild-hearted lads and lassies of the Highlands. He painted, in words of lasting warmth, his love of the rough, wind-swept heaths, the midnight glens and the heathered fields. He was a singing poet, and his songs of Scotland are among literature's happiest treasures. Here are two such songs sung for you by Joe Stafford, played by Paul Weston and his orchestra. The Banks and the Braes of Bonnie Doon, and Green Grow the Rashes, Oh.
Can you bloom so fresh and fair? rushes, oh, green grow the rashes, oh, the sweetest hours that e'er I spend are spent among the lasses, oh. There's naught but care on every hand in every hour that passes, oh, what signifies the life of man if 'twere not for the lasses, oh. Green grow the rashes, oh, green grow the rashes, oh, the sweetest hours that e'er I spend are spent among the lasses, oh. Old nature swears the lovely dears her noblest work she classes, oh, her prentice hand she tried on man and then she made the lasses, oh. Green grow the rashes, oh, green grow the rashes, the sweetest hours that e'er I spend are spent among the lasses, quiet hour at e'en, my arms about my dearie, oh, and worldly cares and worldly men may all go topsy-turvy, oh. Green grow the rashes, oh, green grow the rashes, oh, the sweetest hours that e'er I spend are spent
while Leroy Anderson and the orchestra carry on our program motif with the Bluebells of Scotland from Mr. Anderson's new Scottish suite, we'd like to take just a few moments to tell you what you can expect in the way of entertainment during the month of March on Anthology. Next week, in answer to many, many requests, a repeat performance of one of our most popular recorded albums, the RCA Victor LP of the White Cliffs of Dover. Alice Dewar Miller's beautiful and dramatic narrative read by the talented Broadway star, Miss Lynn Fontaine. The story is concerned with a young American girl of good Yankee stock who marries an Englishman, loses him in World War I, bears his son, and finds herself facing, with her indomitable mother-in-law, the new peril, the Second World War. Following the White Cliffs, a program of verse we call Spring Song, a collection of poems to herald the coming of the spring and summer seasons. Among the poets and readers who will be heard on the program are Ogden Nash, Edna St. Vincent Millay, Judith Anderson, E.E. Cummings, W.H. Auden, and many more of your favorites. As our third program in March, Anthology will present 30 Minutes with the Sitwells. Edith Sitwell, the first woman writer in history to have been made a dame of the British Empire, and her brother, reading from the works that have made their name the most famous of literary families. Sir Osbert will be heard in selections from Rack at Tide's End and other poems. Dame Edith will read excerpts from Facade, set to music by William Walton. There's our schedule for the month of March on Anthology. The White Cliffs of Dover with Lynn Fontaine, a program of poems for spring, and the Sitwells. Since we opened our program of Scottish poems with a salute to the lads of the Highlands, 'tis the lassies now who command our attention. Two lassies in particular, Lord Allen's Daughter by Thomas Campbell and the traditional border ballad, Helen of Kirkconnell. There are five of Campbell's poems which are well known, High Linden, Rock Hill's Warning, two naval poems, Ye Mariners of England, The Battle of the Baltic, and the moving narrative which James McKechnie reads for us now, Lord Allen's Daughter.
A chieftain to the Highlands bound cries, "Boatman, do not tarry, and I'll give thee a silver pound to row us o'er the ferry." "Now who be ye would cross Loch Gyle, this dark and stormy water?" "Oh, I am the chief of Alba's Isle, and this Lord Allen's Daughter. And fast before her father's men, 3 days we fled together. For should he find us in the glen, my blood would stain the heather. His horsemen hard behind us ride, should they our steps discover. Then who will cheer my bonny bride when they've slain her lover?" Outspoke the hardy Highland wight, "I'll go, my chief, I'm ready. It is not for your silver bright, but for your winsome lady. And by my word, the bonny bird in danger shall not tarry. So though the waves are raging white, I'll row you o'er the ferry." By this the storm grew loud apace, the water wraith was shrieking, and in the scowl of heaven each face grew dark as they were speaking. But still as wilder blew the wind, and as the night grew drearer, adown the glen rode armed men, their trampling sounded nearer. "Oh, haste thee, haste," the lady cries, "though tempest round us gather, I'll meet the raging of the skies, but not an angry father." The boat has left a stormy land, a stormy sea before her, when, oh, too strong for human hand, the tempest gathered o'er her. And still they rode amidst the roar of waters fast prevailing. Lord Allen reached that fatal shore. His wrath was changed to wailing. For, sore dismayed, through storm and shade, his child he did discover. One lovely hand she stretched for aid, and one was round her lover. Come back," he cried in grief, "across this stormy water, and I'll forgive your Highland chief, my daughter, oh, my daughter." 'Twas vain. The loud waves lashed the shore, return or aid preventing. The waters wild went o'er his child, and he was left lamenting.
James McKechnie concludes with one of the most beautiful of the old ballads, a poem whose origin has, through the years, been absorbed and become a part of the mists and the winds, the wild moors and the poignant beauty that is Scotland herself. Here is Helen of Kirkconnell.
"I wish I were where Helen lies. Night and day on me she cries. Oh, that I were where Helen lies on fair Kirkconnell lee. Cursed be the heart that thought the thought. Cursed the hand that fired the shot. When in my arms bird Helen dropped and died to succor me. Oh, think na ye my heart was sair when my love dropped and spak nae mair. There did she swoon with meekle care on fair Kirkconnell lee. As I went doon the waterside, nane but my foe to be my guide, nane but my foe to be my guide on fair Kirkconnell lee. I lichted doon my sword to draw, I hacket him in pieces small, I hacket him in pieces small for her sake that died for me. O Helen fair, beyond compare, I'll make a garland o' thy hair, shall bind my heart for evermair until the day I dee. Oh, that I were where Helen lies, night and day on me she cries, out of my bed she bids me rise, says, haste and come to me. Oh, Helen fair, oh, Helen chaste, if I were with thee I'd be blessed, where I lies low and tucks thy rest on fair Kirkconnell lee. I wish my grave were growing green, a winding sheet drawn o'er my een, and I in Helen's arms lying on fair Kirkconnell lee. I wish I were where Helen lies, night and day on me she cries, and I am weary of the skies for her sake that died for me.
Remember, next week on Anthology, The White Cliffs of Dover by Alice Dewar Miller, read by Lynn Fontan. Anthology comes to you transcribed in cooperation with the Poetry Center of the YM and YWHA, 92nd Street and Lexington Avenue in Manhattan. John Malcolm Brennan, director. Next Sunday at the Poetry Center, Constance Collier in an evening of readings from Shakespeare by herself and a company of young professional actors. Anthology is produced by Steve White, written and directed for WRCA by Draper Lewis. Until next Sunday at 1, this is Fleetwood wishing you good luck and good listening.